Hello, and welcome to the CWF Gamecast. I am Jonathan J. Reinhardt. I am your host slash co-host. Today, we're doing things a little differently. I have a very special friend who I'm interviewing, and I know normally I have my co-host Tom Barberley with me. Tom can't be here for this recording, but we're going to have this, and we're going to put things together and stuff. So it's going to be a really good show, but right now I just want to get into the interview and get the goods going. So I want to introduce my guest. His name is Drew McCarthy, and he's a really good friend. He's a big D&D gamer. He has this whole gaming blog and this gaming podcast going on now. It's called The Gate Stormers, so we're going to talk to him about that and some other stuff. But Drew, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Thank you very much. Very glad to be coming on finally. We've been talking about this for a long time.
We have. Is this your first time being on a podcast?
On someone else's, yes. You and I, as you know, we just recorded one for my own podcast, for actually my initial episode.
Yeah, I was very flattered to be on there. I gotta say, being on your own show doesn't really count, but no, that was good. I'm glad we can make it happen for you to be on here. Like you said, we've been trying to do this for a while, and I don't know, it was tough on my end because I wanted to get this done so that we could have the episode up before or around the time that your first episode came out, so that anyone who listens to the show, and we get a decent number of downloads. So far this week, we have like 29, I think, or something like that for our past episode. But anyone who listens to the show, maybe they might like to listen to yours, and maybe we can funnel some people your way too. It's really good because there's another podcast out there called the WWPD News from the Front, which is run by Stephen McLaughlin. He's over at What Would Patton Do? And it's a Flames of War podcast. They talk about all this stuff, basic Flames of War. And they were getting like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of downloads and all these subscribers. So he liked what we were doing here on the Gamecast. And he let Tom and I do a little promo, and he was talking about our show. So then we started getting more subscribers. I think, podcasting is a small enough field that it's nice to be able to help out other podcasters. It's like a friendly competition. I think, we all have our own things that we like to do, but it's nice to help out other people. Plus, you're a good friend, and I'd want to help you out anyway. So hopefully this would give a chance for some people to find out about your show and give you a listen. But before we talk about your show, let's talk about podcasting. So what do you listen to any podcasts? Like, which ones do you listen to? And do you have any favorites? What do you think about all that?
Right now, the only podcast I really listen to is actually yours.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's very kind of you. So, I guess that means that this is your favorite podcast.
It is, yes.
Your favorite and only. So, what made you listen to us? What got you into the whole like podcast kind of thing? Because, it's not something that people just decide one day they wake up, I think I'm going to start listening to podcasts. What changed your mind? What got you to go into it?
Well, the big variables that got me into it is, A, you're my friend. We've talked about it during our gaming sessions and when we hang out and when we just talk in general. Your podcast would always come up and, I'd never really heard it. I'd never really heard really any podcast. So I decided to check it out, and I figured the best one to check out is the one where I can actually talk to somebody.
That's true. So, although this is the only podcast you listen to right now, are you open to listening to others? And, what kind of ones would you want to listen to? This podcast on everything.
Well, I'm starting to look around a bit on my own. Some heavy metal-themed podcasts. Maybe some podcasts on shooting. Obviously, more gaming podcasts would definitely fall into my interest, as well as some of the financial-based podcasts.
Well, that's because... Can I call you an accountant? Are you officially an accountant yet?
Accountant is kind of like chef.
Okay.
You earn the title when you actually finish your education as opposed to when you get a job.
Okay, well then, let's talk about who you are and what you do or what you want to do. Tell us about yourself.
Well, who I am, I'm just an old school gamer living in a new school world. Kind of a little silly to say it like that, but I'm good with it. As for what I do, I just finished up my bachelor's in accounting. I have a good deal more education to get before I get to my ultimate goal of attaining a CPA, which is a certification for public accounting, and opening my own firm, hopefully, at some point.
So then you could do, like, people's taxes?
I could do people's taxes. I could do taxes for businesses. You know, that's the big thing about being a CPA is it gives you some versatility on who you work with and how you work with people. Because it gives me the ability to legally sign off on a company's taxes, which a regular accountant isn't able to.
That's pretty cool. So you have to be pretty smart to do all that kind of stuff.
Well, you have to pass tests.
Okay. That's a diplomatic way of saying it, I guess. So,
but eventually I'd like to also get my CFP, which is a certification in financial planning, because I figured that would go well with a CPA business.
That's a lot of acronyms there.
Well, that's how the financial world works, unfortunately.
Okay, so speaking of acronyms, what type of games do you like? Are you like a CCGer? Do you RPGs? Are you a LARPer? Like, what types of games do you enjoy?
Predominantly, I'm a tabletop RPGer, but there are some tabletop war games that I enjoy as well.
Okay,
and mostly it's 40K.
Okay. What kind of role-playing games do you like?
Well, I love Dungeons & Dragons. I first started playing that when I was 8 years old, which was almost 20 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah, it's been a while. World of Darkness, the World of Darkness setting. I have almost every book published for the Werewolf the Apocalypse setting, actually.
That's impressive.
I'm only missing about 13 or 14 books.
Now, that sounds like a lot. Is that actually a lot?
I have over 70 books just for Werewolf.
Wow. Where do you keep all that?
On a big metal bookshelf in the garage because it broke the wooden bookshelf it was on.
Okay. So what you're saying is being a gamer, being a role player, requires lots of shelf space and lots of money to buy lots of books. And you have to be able to like to read.
Depends on how you want to approach the game. The group I was playing with, we played World of Darkness predominantly for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And in the World of Darkness setting, there's different games available. You know, there's Werewolf the Apocalypse, Mage the Awakening, and Vampire the Masquerade, a couple others that came out over time. And we each kind of drifted towards one game in particular. One of my friends, you know, Earl,
mm-hmm.
He really drifted towards Mage. I went to Werewolf. Another friend of ours that you know, you actually recently reviewed one of his products, Adam.
Oh, Adam McLaughlin.
Yeah, he drifted towards Vampire. Okay. And we all really built up a specialized collection of that particular game.
So doesn't that make it difficult for you to get a game in if you each have like one game that you like that's different than the others? Because don't you need everyone to play this with the same rules, or can you just play in the same world with the different rules?
In the old World of Darkness setting, each game was kind of on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But if you worked hard enough at it, you could kind of cobble it together in a decent system. The new setting is actually built for them all to interact.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy that because you're still restricted to what you can play based on what your storyteller says, but it's less of a cobbling together to make it work.
So you had mentioned Dungeons & Dragons, and you and I are in a monthly D&D campaign for 4th edition. Now, as someone who has played other editions of D&D, how does 4th ed stack up to previous editions for you?
Well, you really can't compare the different editions. I don't know why people always do this, but I don't think you can compare the different editions. They are all a standalone game.
Would you say... I've talked about D&D in our monthly game with my co-host Tom here on the podcast before, and I've talked about it, I think, a little bit on his other podcast, the Stone Age podcast, and I've constantly referred to 4th Ed as taking World of Warcraft and making it a pen and paper role-playing game. And that's D&D 4th Ed. Would you say that's fair? Oh, I mean, I know you haven't played World of Warcraft, and I know your thoughts on World of Warcraft, but you've seen World of Warcraft, and you must know something about it. Does it seem like a fair analogy?
Well, as you stated, I'm not really familiar with World of Warcraft, and I do have a slight bias against it, but it's only slight, I promise.
You're saying that D&D 4th Ed, you feel like you can't compare editions? So, like, D&D 4th Ed is 4th Ed, and 3.5 is 3.5, and, like, 2nd edition, 2nd edition. Like, you don't feel it's fair to compare them? Or, like, are you just saying that it is fair, but that it's just so different that you can't compare?
Well, I mean, really, they're very similar in their setting, and a lot of the rules tend to stay pretty stagnant, like rolling a d20 to see if you hit, and all the similar mechanics that stay the same. But when you went from AD&D to 3rd edition, you really added feats, which weren't all that important in AD&D.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since I've played. I don't even remember there being feats in AD&D, to be honest with you.
Okay. So someone might be able to correct us if they get in touch with the show.
Right. Corrections, I'm always willing to take a correct. 5, they just kind of cleaned up the system they had. So 3.5 is an actual revision.
Okay.
And 4 is a new system. So that means it really is a new game. Yes, it has a similar setting. Yes, it has a similar background. But it's a new system, which means it's a new game.
4th Ed is my first time ever playing Dungeons & Dragons. First time... Well, it's not my first time playing a role-playing game. My first time playing a role-playing game was Torg. But it's the first time ever playing Dungeons & Dragons. And I found that 4th Ed... It was a little confusing for me at first, but I thought it was really easy to get into and very welcoming for a new player. I would say that's a strength of it. I know some people have said they think it's oversimplified and it's all just combat and stuff. But I think if you work at it, you can definitely introduce the role-playing aspect into it and place a focus on that. And that's something our DM does. I think he's really about the story and he has the combat and stuff for us to do and, you know, go around. But it's not like we're just wandering around killing monsters and stuff and looting things just to kill stuff and loot things. Like, there's reasons behind it, and it flows, and it all fits together like a jigsaw puzzle. So I think it's possible. I don't know why people are just like, oh, it's just combat, and it's oversimplified, but I know a lot of people feel that way.
Well, I mean, to me, the big complaint is that it's all just combat. You just have a crappy DM.
Mm-hmm.
The game is only what the DM can construct out of it. If your DM can only see the combat aspects of it, you're screwed. And there's no two ways around it. You're restricted by what your DM is capable and willing to do. And if all he wants to throw at you is combat, that's all you're ever going to see. It's all you're going to experience, and that's what you're going to base your name off of. And that's not fair to the game.
Maybe before people get into a game or a campaign, I guess it's really what we're talking about, a campaign more so than a game. I think people use the terms interchangeably, but I think we're talking about a campaign. But maybe before people get into a campaign, they really do need to figure out what it is that they want out of it and talk to the game master, the dungeon master, and see what the dungeon master feels about it. Like, are they going to emphasize the story? How much input are they going to allow for players? Are they going to use, like, pre-generated, adventures, which you can get, like Wizards of the Coast puts out? Are they going to make their own, like, that kind of stuff? And just have, like, an informational session and see what it is, because not every campaign is for every player, and not every play is for every campaign.
Exactly. A community effort. And if you don't like the way your particular DM is running the game, you have 3 options. You can speak up, see if you can get it to change. You can man up and take on the task of DMing, or you can find a new group.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the last 2 options aren't that easy. You find someone who wants to DM and they're good at it, let them stay there.
Yeah. There's a lot of bad DMs out there. And I don't think it's that people want to be bad. I think it's just a very difficult job. So finding someone with the right combination of skills who can do it well is very difficult. And, I mean, one of the key ones, besides being able to do it and being able to do it well, is the time factor. And not everyone who would do a great job has the time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes into planning a game, running a game, handling your players. I mean, we have a very, at times, caustic group that we play in together. I mean, if you look at our last session, we were all over the place as far as our interactions with each other.
Yeah.
And our DM just keeps us on topic.
It's a very interesting game. You had mentioned earlier that you play something called 40K. Tell us about it.
Well, Warhammer 40K is a game published by Games Workshop, which is a British company.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tabletop war game set in the year, or the approximate year of, or excuse me, the approximate millennia of the 40th. The 40th millennia. It's the 41st millennia. And, you know, it's just a super sci-fi tabletop war game where there's many different factions. There's the Order factions, which consists predominantly of the Imperials, which is a human faction. There's an evil human faction called Chaos. There's alien factions like Orcs and Tyranids, which are a kind of insect. Think Starship Troopers in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Eldar, which are space elves. And there's good Eldar, and there's bad Eldar. You know, there's just a lot of different armies. And then there's the Tau, which they're technically an Order species, but they're really trying to take care of their own first and foremost.
So what do you play in 40K? I'm assuming you play.
I do play. I play Orcs because I like the unpredictability of them.
You must have to paint a lot of models.
Oh, yes. There's a lot of models. It's what's referred to as a horde army. My models on their own are a particularly impressive item, but you get 30 of them in together in one unit, and potentially they might chip somebody's paint.
Now, I know some people who play any of these kind of games, they'll collect, like, several armies. I'm actually reading the Black Powder Rules by Warlord Games. It's a historical rule set. And I'm reading that, and I subscribe to Battle Games Magazine, which is put out by Henry Hyde, who's actually one of our sponsors. He's a prize sponsor for the show. But in that, there's been some articles in the Black Powder Rules. They suggest that when you collect for this rule, I guess any game, is you can extrapolate, that you should collect two armies, really. You should collect one army that is what you want to play, and then one army, like a loaner army that someone else could use. So you could have like a friend who doesn't know how to play or whatever, and you could teach them how to play, so that way you always have an opponent. Is that how you've done with 40K, or is it something you want to do? And like, if not, have you just thought about collecting other armies? I can think of a couple people in particular who own like 14 or 15 40K armies. And I mean, it's not cheap to get these things, but like, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, like you said, 40K armies aren't cheap, and starting out having multiple armies is really, in my opinion, prohibitively expensive. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with having multiple armies. It gets you an idea on, first off, how to play against those armies with your favorite army, whichever army it ends up being. But it gives you a perspective on the other armies as well.
I know with the Black Powder Rules, and granted, we're talking 40K, which is a science fiction fantasy, science fiction setting, and I'm talking Black Powder Rules here, which is a historical one, and it's a couple hundred years of human history you can use. But in Black Powder Rules, I had purchased some of the Perry miniatures. I wanted to do the American Revolution, or as they call it in historical gaming, AWI, American War of Independence. And for this, I picked up like 18 models, and another 6 would give me enough for a regiment, and then 3 regiments would give me enough to have a whole army. So for basically $150, roughly, I would have enough. It'd be a small army, but I'd have enough for an army. So for $300, I could have enough for 2 small armies to play against each other. I'm collecting Americans, so I could have like my Americans, and then I could have, you know, French if I want, and I could have British or Hessians or Native Americans or whatever. Is that like doable? Like, what does a 40K army cost? Like, I used to play 40K, but that's been so many years ago. I don't even know what the price point on some of this stuff is.
It all depends on the big variable with 40K is the style of army you want to play, as well as the army itself that you play.
Mm-hmm.
the most cost-effective army as far as building it is the Space Marines, because their units are worth a lot of points, but comparatively speaking, their dollar value is pretty small. Where orcs have a similar dollar value, but they're worth maybe a third the points. So, well, one box of Space Marines will cover somebody. I need to buy three boxes of orcs.
So, like, what would a box of orcs cost you? Like, are we talking, like the models I picked up, right, the Perry Brothers miniatures, I got six metal figures for, I got them online, but, I mean, even if I didn't, it wouldn't be that much more. I think not online, they're, like, $15 for six of them. Online, it's, like, $12 or something. So, figure it's $15 for argument. So, it's, like, you know, $30 for two. You actually need, like, four things of them. So, you're talking, like, say, $60 for four things of them. And that's, well, that's, like, one-third of my army. But that would be one large unit, one unit. So, like, what would... You said you need three boxes to get a unit of your stuff. What does, like, a box cost?
Well, a box of orcs, which is usually about 20 orcs, if I remember right, is around $30. Where a box of marines is 10 marines, and it's also around $30. And for me, 20 boys, 20 orc boys, is not quite a full potential unit, where I believe a full potential unit of marines is 10.
But it used to be 10 of tactical marines, or you could do a half unit of five. They called it like a combat squad. I don't know if that's still the case, but I think 10 was a full unit of the tactical marines.
Right. So, I mean, you can buy a full potential unit of marines for the same price that I pay for two-thirds of a potential unit.
Hmm. Okay. So definitely some armies would cost you more to do both, not just in money, but also it takes time to assemble them, to paint them. And then, I mean, you got to buy the glue or whatever you use to assemble to clean up, a hobby knife or, you know, files. You need to paint the paintbrush and, like, all that other... You need all that other stuff, the accoutrement, to actually do all that other stuff. So it's costing you additional money for that and then extra time. And then you're going to run through more, like, glue and any other consumables, paint and stuff, for, like, an orc army than you would for a Space Marine army? Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to cost a little more to build an orc army because there's more models. But I mean, one benefit to orcs over many of the other armies is the ability to scrap build.
Mm-hmm.
It's very
what is
much
that?
Scrap building. It's making your own models or really converting the models that you have and making them yours as opposed to a stock GW model. You know, you want to make your truck a little, well, for lack of a better term, orcier. Do what you want.
So there's no right or wrong.
With orcs, there is no right or wrong.
That's pretty appealing.
There is a lot to say about that. I mean, when I was first assembling some of my models, parts didn't always line up the way they were supposed to. But because they're orcs, it doesn't matter.
So, you're running this blog and a podcast. It's called The Gatestormers, right? And, like, are you talking about the orcs on there? Like, what are you talking about on the blog? Why are you blogging? Why are you podcasting?
In general, the blogging and the podcasting is... It's for the gaming community as a whole, trying to improve the community. I haven't talked too much in regards to my current orc army. But the big thing that we really want to emphasize with the blog and the podcast is... just building the community, making it stronger, and improving it. And one of the ways we want to do that is through one of our projects called The Healthy Gamer.
What is The Healthy Gamer?
The Healthy Gamer is a project that we're working on in conjunction with a friend of ours, Murph, who's a trained chef. And we're going to be putting together recipes that are, for the most part, we're planning on keeping them on the simpler end of cooking. But we're going to put together recipes that tend to be affordable on a per-person basis and very healthy. And we're also going to try and get people into more physical things that we think may appeal to gamers, but they never really thought of.
Do you have any of this already up on your blog?
We have the first recipe up for the Healthy Gamer up on the blog, and that actually will be updated on the first Thursday of every month. We'll be updating the Healthy Gamer project.
Okay, so you have the Healthy Gamer project on your blog, and you're updating it. Then, like, what else are you putting on the blog? You said you're trying to better the gaming community. How do you plan to do that?
Well, the big way we plan on bettering the gaming community is to help give gamers advice on how to run a game, how to get a game together, just improving the communication between groups on their own and with the gaming community as a whole, if at all possible.
Okay. How would someone... We've been talking about, like, this is on the blog. And for people who listen to this show, they know I always say, oh, I'm not going to send you to the blog because, you know, you're listening to the show. And everything should be self-contained. I don't want to be like, oh, there's this really cool thing on a blog and you should go look at it. And then I probably end up being like, oh, there's this thing on the blog, you should go to the blog. And then the blog has blah, blah. But we're talking about your blog, and like, how do people find it? What is your blog? Where is it? How do they get to the blog?
Our blog is thegatestormers.com, and it's very important that you include the in thegatestormers.com, because if you don't, you will find yourself at a ministry site that has not been updated since, I believe, 2007. And we are not talking about ministry, the band. We're talking a religious ministry.
Okay. So it's vital for listeners who want to find your blog to go to thegatestormers.com, all one word, right? No hyphens or any crazy symbols or anything?
Nope. Very plain, very simple, thegatestormers.com.
Okay. So do you have, like, a schedule for when you put content on there? Like, for example, on our blog, I put stuff whenever something comes to mind. But then there's this other really good gaming blog, Troll ITC, Troll in the Corner, and it seems like they have at least one, if not more than one, new article up every single day. And, like, for me, that's a bit much. But, like, what are you doing? Like, how often should people be checking for content?
Well, our content updates right now, I update the blog every Monday. There will be project updates on the first and third Thursdays of the month with, as I stated before, the first Thursday being dedicated to the Healthy Gamer, and the third Thursday will go to some of our various other projects, including my upcoming project of building a Warhammer Fantasy Ogre Kingdom army.
Ooh.
And on the second and fourth Fridays of the month will be updates to our podcast.
So if that's a little confusing for people to listen to, we're going to write that out. We'll have that in our show notes so you can see exactly what's going to be updated on what on the Gatestormers. And I'm sure if people go to your blog, you say somewhere on there, like, this is what we do when or whatever, so they can figure it out. They can write it down, put it on the iCal or something. And
yep.
Because I would imagine, like, hopefully people come and they love everything you do on your blog. But I'm sure some things will resonate more with some people than others. So maybe someone is going to really like this Ogre Kingdom thing. Maybe they've always thought that they would like to do Ogre Kingdoms. So that's what they really look forward to and read. And other people might be like, I want to be healthier. And they focus on the Healthy Gamer project that you're working on. So they might just want to... They might read everything, but might want to focus on, you know, one particular thing. And might want to check on that day that that comes out. And then, you know, after they read that, look at everything else.
Yeah, of course. Write it out as much as you'd like. If you want, I can send it to you. But we also have it on the site under one of our links. And I know I'm talking in the third person a lot using we. But that's because I'm co-hosting, or I will be co-hosting with a friend of mine, Ross, who currently isn't able to participate just due to some time constraints.
So he's kind of on like a pre-leave of absence kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's a lot of blogs about everything, but there's a lot of blogs and there's a lot of podcasts out there, and I want to talk about the Gatestormers podcast, but before I do, like, what you're doing this blog and you're doing this podcast, what separates you from all these other gaming blogs and podcasts? Why should people come and listen to your podcast and visit your blog as opposed to going to another one or in addition to? Like, what's unique about it?
Well, I mean, there's always the classic canned responses, I'm special, I'm different. But I mean, I'd like to think that mine is special. Mine is different. It's got a little soul to it. It's a little different than what you'll find other places. But I'm sure there's someone else out there who does something very similar. And, you know, the big thing is find something that you're comfortable with, that you like. I'd like it to be me, but if it isn't, please feel free to find someone else.
I gotta say, I follow the Gatestormers, and when the podcast episodes come out, I'll be subscribing to them. I'm hoping you'll be on iTunes, and we can talk about that in a minute, but I'll be subscribing to them, and I pay attention to what's on the blog, and I enjoy what's on there, but I do have to give a word of warning, because you're raw in what you say. Here on this show and on the blog, we have a certain audience that we kind of fit. We try to keep things in the mainstream, and you're not restricted by that on yours, which is good. It's kind of refreshing. You let it all come out, and you're not afraid of saying what you mean and meaning what you say. Whereas, like, other places might want to, they might worry about offending people or, you know, having things come off the wrong way. But you put it out there, and you let people pull from it what they will, and you know what you're intended to do. That might not be for everyone's liking. I enjoy it. It's a change of pace. It's just something for people to consider. I really liked, actually, one of the articles you had written. I think you titled it, Why to, quote, Pay Where You Play. And this is something I had been thinking about for a while. But I had noticed that it's a topic that comes up a lot in the gaming community. But I haven't really seen it discussed online. Other than, you know, like message boards, which have the danger of, you know, people flaming each other and trolling and stuff. But I thought you did a really good job describing your position and talking about this issue. Because, I mean, it's a tough issue to talk about. Why did you pick this issue? Like, this is one of the highlights on your blog for me. When you came up with this and I read it, I was like, wow, this guy can write. And I was like, this is interesting, it's engaging, and it got me thinking, and then I have to give you credit, and I'm going to give you props. Part of it ended up prodding me to do my own editorial on our blog on, you know, paying where you play, and I ended up taking a completely opposite position than you do in your blog article. But, like, what propelled you to talk about this? Because there's a ton of things to talk about in gaming, and this is one of the first things you had written about.
Well, as I'm sure most of your listeners know, there's a local gaming store that you and I both frequent called Battleground Games and Hobbies, and you and I are both pretty close with the owner, as pretty much any regular at the store is. Mm-hmm. And in all of my studies for business and accounting and everything, they talk about your customer base and how important it is. And without a customer base, your business is bound to fail. And I think it's important that if you find your local gaming store to be important to you in your social life, your gaming life, however you want to view it, that you kick as much business their way as possible. I'm not saying don't buy online. I'm saying just exhaust your local resources first.
I felt you were very eloquent in your discussion of it in your article, because it's something I think people can easily get bogged down in the minutia of, and they could just turn a blind eye to a lot of stuff. But you did a really good job of addressing it. You were very respectful, which was nice, because it's a hot topic issue. I haven't talked about it on the podcast, and I'm not going to talk about it tonight on the podcast, but I will another time. But in relation to my blog article about it, someone actually had left me a comment. And at first, I wondered if it was spam, because it was very inflammatory, and they didn't put, like, a real name or anything. And I look forward to people commenting on my blog on the CW of Gamecast. And I like to hear from you. I like the feedback. You know, good, bad, ugly, whatever. I like to know. And this comment was definitely ugly. And the person was very insulting towards me because of my viewpoints on, you know, pay where you play and everything. But I just thought it was interesting that, you know, I expect people to be able to talk about things intelligently and maturely. And this person did not. So I was kind of surprised by that, but I felt that, and I guess I was extra surprised because, you know, it all kind of started for me with your article, and you were very mature and very intelligent in how you discussed it and addressed it, and I just kind of, I guess, and it was probably naive of me, but I expected you know, that other people would realize it's a hot button issue, and they would be respectful and mature about it. And obviously, not everyone is. Is that something you've come across when you've gamed or in your work with the podcast and with the blog? Have you had any, you know, issues where people have just been, you know, downright rude, or, you know, they just didn't seem to understand and they were very disrespectful? Or has it been pretty smooth sailing for you so far?
Well, I'd have to say so far it's been smooth sailings, but that's only due to a lack of input from anyone. We're still very new, very early in the stages of getting set up. But, I mean, I think the big thing is what you and I are doing, not to belittle anyone who's listening, but the people who are actively contributing to the community in a positive way, trying to build the image, trying to gain knowledge and help other people learn about who and what we are, we're definitely bringing, I'm not going to say more to the table, but something different. And just because someone doesn't like it, you're not going to like everything that you or I say. As you stated, you and I take a different position on this. I respect your position, you respect mine.
Well, I think if you're doing a blog or podcast, you really put yourself out there. It takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and it takes money, too, to do. I mean, none of this is free. It costs, you know, time and effort and resources and funds and stuff to do. So you're really putting yourself out there for other people to listen to read what you do, to address and to get back to you about, to leave feedback on. Podcasts and blogs don't work unless you get the feedback. And I've always said that feedback is important. I think my exact words are that podcasts and blogs live and die by your feedback or lack thereof. So it's really important for people to do that. And it's not easy for people to put feedback out there. Because, I mean, you're putting yourself out there, too. If you are, you know, you listen into this show or whatever show. It doesn't have to be ours. You listen to the Gatestormers. You love the Gatestormers, right? And you're just really into it. So you feel like this sense of ownership with it. You have this camaraderie with it. You feel like you really know Drew. You feel like at one with the guests and the topics. And you feel like you belong. It's like it's your chairs. You're very comfortable with it. But you feel like it's even with that, it's still difficult for you to be like, I'm going to take that next step, and then I'm going to send an email. I'm going to leave a comment on their blog. I'm going to, you know, post on their Facebook page or on Twitter or whatever it is. I'm going to somehow spread the word about this, either get other people to listen or to leave a comment. And it's even more difficult, I think, if you leave in some sort of constructive criticism, because I don't think people intentionally want to be hurtful, but I think, you know, you want to get something up there. On our last episode, and I took it as a little bit of constructive criticism, I think it was just more of an observation, but Henry Hyde listens to the show, and as I mentioned earlier, he's the editor and owner of Battle Games Magazine. He's a fantastic guy, stand-up guy. Lots of props to him. But he had mentioned that he heard this weird noise in the background of the previous episode, and he was like, you know, it sounds like someone's whisking something. You know, it made me hungry. And that I took that as an observation, but also as a polite way to say, you had a problem with your audio. You should pay attention to that. And, of course, what he didn't know, and not everyone would, but some listeners would know, that my bunnies make appearances in the podcast. I have one bunny in particular. His name is Malcolm. He's named after Malcolm Reynolds from Firefly. But he's really loud when he drinks his water, and it could sound like someone's whisking. Like, he's really loud. Like, it's noticeably so. He's all the way across the room away from me, but I record with a headset and, you know, with a mic attached. But, like, you could hear him all the way across the room. So that's what Henry Hyde had listened to. So he was being nice to be like, hey, you have a problem with your audio. You should fix it, is what he was, what I heard him say. And Henry, I know you're listening, so if that's not what you're saying, I didn't take any offense, but thank you for it. It was helpful. But I told Henry, I said, hey, you know, that's my buddy Malcolm. He's just thirsty. He's a thirsty boy, and he wanted something to drink. But I think there's a nice way people can do it. But, you know, just being like, hey, I'm going to take the time to leave a comment. It's not easy. You really have to put yourself out there. But you're putting yourself out even further. You're exposing yourself when you're podcasting and when you're blogging.
Well, yeah, you really do find – I really didn't realize how much of this would be exposing who I am and how I feel about things until I really started it. And I've been doing it for a little over a month now, and I really do find I like it. It's kind of cathartic. But I understand a lot of people have an issue or they're afraid to put themselves out there like that. which is part of the reason on my site we currently don't have the comment section open, but we do have emails. You can send us emails. We're more than receptive to them. You send us something, we'll do our best to respond to you. Constructive criticism is always welcome. Any good things you have to say, bad things, just let us know. We're open to it. So, you know, we're still building. We're still establishing who we are, how we're doing things.
How would someone email you to, you know, give you feedback, good, bad, ugly? Where do they send it to?
Well, there's two email addresses that I can give you right now.
Okay.
There's our general contact email address, which is contact@thegatestormers.com. And if you want to get in touch with me specifically, you can send an email to drew@thegatestormers.com.
We've been talking a lot about gaming in general, a lot about your blog, The Gatestormers. Let's talk about your podcast. You have the blog going. Why the podcast too? Why are you doing both?
Well, really, a lot of this comes down to you, actually.
Okay. I feel like this is turning into an infomercial for me.
I'm just saying, man, you inspired me to just get off my duff and man up. You know, I've always said there's a lot of things I want to see happen with the community, and a lot of things I want to see happen with people's perception of our community. And I figured if I know someone who's doing this, I can go to them for advice on how to do it. And pretty much what you told me is just do it and figure it out as you go.
That's very kind.
And that's what
say.
I'm doing.
I gotta say, not because you're my friend, and not because it's about gaming, or you live near me, and not because you've been flattering me like crazy this entire recording, but I think you've been doing a really good job. And I don't promote things unless I feel personally that I can approve them. If I don't like whatever it is, I'm not gonna do it. I mean, in the past, we do these reviews on products. And I did a review on an online vendor, I'm not going to give a name, and it was a generally favorable review, but I'm not a fan of that online vendor. The owner was very rude to me, very mean, it was not good, and I had mentioned that stuff in my review, and that was partly why the owner was unhappy with me. They didn't like the fact that I didn't give them a perfect 100%, it wasn't a complete glowing review. I mean, it was glowing, it was pretty good, but, you know, I said the good, I said the bad, I said the ugly. And I think it's important to not pull any punches. But if I don't like something, I'm going to tell you that. And I'm telling you, the listener, that the Gatestormers, the blog is fantastic. The blog is, I'm over the moon about the blog. You really do have to go there. And the podcast, I unfortunately haven't heard any of yet because, well, you don't have any episodes out yet. What's gives?
Well, we haven't started recording. We just recently started recording. But we're just, as I stated, we're really just getting our feet under ourselves, getting established, figuring out what we're doing, how we're doing it. And as we progress, it'll progress with us. I'd like to get as many people in on the ground floor as possible and just get input.
Now, will people find the same content on the blog and podcast? Or, like, okay, let's say I listen to your podcast, which I will. Partly because, as you mentioned, you recorded an episode, and I recorded it with you. You interviewed me. It was kind of like I was your guest, and I was very honored to be your guest. So, plug for that. But let's say I'm Joe Schmo, and I'm listening to your podcast. Why am I going to listen to, what am I going to find in your podcast that I'm not going to find in your blog? And what will I find in your blog that I don't find in your podcast?
Well, I mean, our podcast is going to be a very open forum where we're going to focus mostly on gaming. But pretty much any subject will be open for discussion. The only things we don't plan on making open for discussion are the two most likely to start flame wars, which is religion and politics. So we're not going to go down those particular avenues.
So not favorite flavor of ice cream?
Favorite flavor of ice cream, I can't guarantee it won't come up.
Okay.
But it's not likely to.
Well, I think it's very smart. Religion and politics, I think, are things people care deeply about, but you need to find the right venue for that and the right audience.
Exactly, and as you stated, we're not going to be editing anything as far as the vocabulary and the language goes. Whatever comes out, comes out. We're fine with that. You know, we're not going to pretend to be family friendly. We're going to keep it as clean as possible, but if certain words come out, we're not going to stop them.
Now, you had mentioned how often, you know, what the schedule is for your blog. What's the schedule going to be like for the podcast? Have you figured that out? Are you still working on it? Like, what's the you mentioned the format's going to be kind of an open conversational format. How long is it going to be? How often are you going to have it released? How are people going to be able to find the podcast?
Well, right now, the format for the podcast is going to be...
Is it like a weekly podcast? Are you doing a monthly show? A bi-weekly?
It's a twice-monthly show.
Okay.
As for the duration, right now I'm thinking it'll probably be between 45 minutes to an hour, depending on how everything runs. But right now I'm also running the podcast alone. As I stated, my partner in this project is just kind of dealing with his own things as far as time constraints go. So it's a lot to take on at once, where I'm pretty much managing the site on my own and managing the podcast and everything else on my own. But as soon as he becomes involved or more involved, we'll be able to do more, and it might get longer, it might not.
Having a co-host is key. When I did this podcast before, originally, I did it by myself, and people seemed to like it, but it wasn't as good as it could be. Having Tom as my co-host is fantastic. I think he raises the bar on this so much. I mean, he's a fantastic guy, but I think having a co-host is key because it lessens the burden on you as host. You have someone else there to sort of gives you a break. It gives you time to think about what you want to talk about, and it gives you time to play off of someone else, and they play off of you. Plus, it gives you like a really good dynamic. I think people respond to having two individuals, and they respond to the interaction between them. That's what I've liked most about podcasts that are my favorites. I like them because, you know, I can listen to someone just talk by themselves. And, I mean, it could be good. It could be fantastic. But there's something about having that interaction between them and someone else, whether it's, you know, they have a guest all the time or there's a co-host or whatever. Like, that just, it works really well. So people behave differently when they're behaving with someone else than when they're by themselves.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, my big inspiration on how to do the co-hosting thing actually came from listening to the radio. You know, you stop and you listen to all the shows that are hosted by one person alone, and they do end up sounding kind of dry and one-sided, because they are. But when you have a single host who has other co-hosts who happen to just kind of walk into the studio, sit down, and start chatting, the show really picks up. It becomes more lively, more entertaining, even if it's just for 2 or 3 minutes between songs or between commercials. It's more interesting than just listening to one person rant.
So, we've talked about the blog, and we've talked about your podcast, and we talked about some gaming. Now, it seems like the gaming you've been talking about, whether it's gaming you play or the gaming that you talk about on the blog, is either D&D or it's a Games Workshop miniatures kind of game. Now, are there other types of games that you like or that you think about getting into? Like, we talk a lot about historical gaming on here. We're a historical gaming blog and podcast. But, I mean, it doesn't have to be historical gaming. There's, you know, like War Machine, for example. Privateer Press puts out War Hordes, War Machine and Hordes. Or there's Malifaux, which is supposed to be very popular. It's a hot property now. There's the pre-painted miniatures, 1843, Heroescape. Like, does any of that appeal to you? Or any of that kind of stuff that you'd get into? Board games, collectible card mini games, like any of that kind of stuff? Or are you strictly like a Games Workshop minis gamer, D&D role player?
For the most part, I'm mostly a Games Workshop minis and a role player for tabletop. I mean, I've played Legend of the Five Rings, and I love the game. I've played World of Darkness, and I love it. Dungeons & Dragons, another game I love. I mean, I'm open to playing anything. It's just right now, these are the games I'm drifting towards and tend to stay focused on.
What about any sort of electronic gaming? For Christmas, I received an Xbox 360 as a gift. So I'm not on there as much as I'd like, but I have, you know, Xbox Live, and I have the 360, and I have some games. I play. Are you like a 360 player? Do you like the Wii? Or do you do any console, or do you do like on a computer, for example?
For the most part, my electronic gaming, I mean, I had a Wii, I used it for about a month, and then it started to collect dust. I got a 360, and I use the thing daily. I play games, I use it for watching movies. I play a lot of online games at various sites that offer free games throughout the day due to my job being...
So something like armorgames.com, Addicting Games, Kongregate, you can tell I'm used to these different types of games. Like places like that?
Yeah, those are all sites I frequent while at work.
You mean while you're thinking about going to work, you frequent those sites. So when you're on your 360, do you have a favorite game right now? Like what are you playing all the time?
For the most part, what I'm playing is Halo Reach. I really, you know, for the longest time, I was opposed to the Halo games. I didn't think they were all that great. I didn't think they were super or stellar, really even good. And I decided I can't just talk smack about them. I have to step up, give it a try. So I started playing it a bit, realized I really enjoy it. It's just a great game. I enjoy being able to... I enjoy the setting. The music. The music in the games is incredible. And the controls are pretty simple. They're straightforward first-person shooter controls. Nothing crazy about them. You know, it reminded me a lot of back when I used to play PlanetSide.
Could I entice you to give out your gamer tag in case any of our listeners want to play you in any Xbox 360 games? Or do you want to keep that to yourself?
Right now I'm going to keep that to myself, but that's mostly because I'm working on an intermittent wireless connection that's not exactly reliable.
Okay. Well, I will track that down off air, because I'd love to play some games with you. I'm sure you'll kick my behind. I'm not very good at any of those games. I actually have a challenge going to listeners that if you want to teach me how to play any games or just beat the crap out of me, you can find me on, you know, Xbox Live, and I have my information at the end of the show. But I look forward to someone beating the crap out of me on Xbox Live. No one has yet, but the challenge is still out there. I'm challenging you, and I'm so far no champion has risen up to, you know, beat me to a bloody pulp.
Well, I'll probably take you up on that challenge for a game or two.
Yeah, maybe you'll be the one, huh? Maybe you'll win a prize. I don't know. We love to get prizes out on the show.
Hey, just remember, there can be only one.
One ring to rule them all, and in the darkness behind them.
Exactly.
Okay, so at this point in the show, I've usually asked and talked about everything I've wanted to, or, you know, if there's other stuff, I leave it so I can invite you back. But I like to ask if you, the guest, have anything you want to talk about, any questions for me, or any particular things you want to talk about. Lord knows I may not have covered everything.
Well, I think we've covered everything as far as my site goes, because, again, it's pretty simple. It's very straightforward right now. And, again, any input would be appreciated. But, I mean, to go back to the pay-where-you-play thing.
Okay.
I read that comment from that person, and you had a very dignified response to someone who is acting, at best, juvenile. If you're not going to try and contribute in a respectful, responsible way, why bother?
I'm actually going to cover Pay Where You Play in a future episode of this show, because I actually want to talk to Tom about it. But since we've been talking about the comment, I feel it wouldn't be fair for me to just be like, go to the blog. But, I mean, you could go to the blog and you can read my article, and I would suggest you do, because, I mean, if you have comments, I'd love to hear it. You can leave comments on the blog or email me or whatever. But the comment is, the person posted it, they used the name Frodo, a.k.a. Frodo from Lord of the Rings. Clearly a made-up name. Clearly they were doing it because they didn't want to reveal who they were. But they said, quote, "You are a tool. Just keep buying online and stay away from the New England community," end quote. And like I said, I read it, and at first I was like, is this spam? Are they serious? And I was kind of confused. Then I was like, no, seriously, they are insulting me, and they are warning me away from gaming anywhere in New England. And I was like, who the heck do they think they are? And I was trying to think of a way to respond. And I didn't want to, you know, further flame the fire. because there's so many ways you could respond to something like this. But I felt that I could respond in such a way to get my point across and still show that I'm appreciative of the comments. Like, as there's no doubt that this person, whoever they are, and I have no idea who they are, but clearly they know me, clearly they live or game in New England, clearly they're passionate about this, clearly they are passionate about the local game store, the friendly local game store, whatever it is, and they feel that it's adamantly that you should primarily or only shop at that store and not do any business online. But at the same time, they put themselves out there, they exposed themselves, they took the time to leave comment. I'm always talking about giving me feedback, and I can't be like, hey, give me feedback, and then, you know, shut you down when you give me the feedback, because what does that make me? That makes me lesser than dirt. So I put a little comment up in response, and my comment has my name on it, which is what I would recommend. Anyone you put a comment on, put your name. If you don't want to put your real name, put a fake name, but use a legitimate email address. I'll actually use email addresses to talk to you privately if you want. It's something I've done, or just let you know about what's going on. We don't sell or share them or anything. We strongly believe in privacy. But, you know, give a legitimate email address or a legitimate website where someone can find out about you. Anyway, I said, quote, I knew this article would incite a response, but I thought the readers of this blog were mature enough to put their name to what they say, not an obviously fake pseudonym with obviously fake contact information. Guess I was wrong. Thanks, Jonathan, end quote. Like I said, this is an inflammatory topic. People are going to feel very strongly one way or the other. And I was hesitant to talk about, you know, paying where you play. But I felt it was important to do. And Drew, when I read your article, it's a really good article. I gushed about it a lot in this interview, but it's a really good article. But I felt, you know, if Drew can talk about it and he can take his stand, then, you know, heck, I can do the same thing. And, I mean, I did, and I guess, you know, if someone's saying something bad about you, you must be doing something right, right?
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. But, I mean, I don't understand why he'd say something like that. I can understand being loyal to your local gaming store. I don't think there's many people who've gone as far as I have in regards to their local gaming store, where I actually have our gaming store's logo tattooed on my arm. Literally, it is a tattoo on my arm.
Do you know what? We're going to have to get a picture of that, and I'll put it up on the blog.
Yeah, you can do that. I mean,
you
I wear
put
the
it up on your blog. Forget me putting up stuff on. Put it up on the GateStormers, Drew. Show how, you know, elite you are.
Hey, I'm hardcore. That's what the loyalty's about.
3117. No, seriously, put it up.
I'm going to. I will. I can get a copy of the picture that Chase took when I first had it done. No, because what I did after having that tattoo put on, I had it done at a place in the same strip mall. I walked out from the tattoo parlor, walked straight in, and I showed everybody.
Now, for those who don't know, Drew mentioned Chase. And Chase is an employee at the store Battleground Games and Hobbies. He's the manager of the Plainville location. He's a good friend. And he used to work at the Abington location back when it was the only location. Now there's both locations. And Chase is the big man on campus now. He's the manager. He's a really good guy. Very good.
Yeah, Chase is a great guy. And he's, again, part of the reason I'm a fan of paying where you play. And I understand your position. I respect your position. But, I mean, people, I don't think it's that you're not supposed to ignore inflammatory comments as posted by, as he'll call himself, Frodo. Not that he deserves
that's
the name.
That's your real name. No.
And he obviously doesn't deserve the name because he doesn't have the stones to stand up and say what he's saying openly by being available to respond. And, you know, I think it's, you handled that well. It was a very classy response. Instead of sinking down to his level, you just said, this is what it is. And more importantly, anything like Pay Where You Play or a lot of the stuff that I post on my blog, it's opinion. I have my opinion, you have your opinion. Nothing says you have to like it, but at least do me a favor and show it some respect.
I don't want to make mountains out of molehills, but I guess the thing for me is, if you're someone and you feel that you have to make a comment, you have to give some sort of feedback, and you feel it's going to be inflammatory one way or the other, obviously it more likely to have a negative connotation. But you feel that you want to keep some sort of an anonymity here, that you don't want, like, the entire world to know, then send an email. I mean, you don't have to post it on a Facebook page or on a Twitter feed or on a blog or whatever. You can just send a private email and say, you know, I just want to send you this email because I didn't want it out for everyone. But I thought you should know this is how I feel. So, I mean, in my case, this Frodo person could have been like, oh, do you know, I totally disagree with you and I think you're a jerk, but I don't want people to know who I am, so I'll send you an email. So this way I know it's a real person. Well, obviously it's a real person, but I know it's a person. I know that they're standing up to be counted. I mean, you should, you know, be man or woman enough to be like, this is who I am and this is what I believe. And don't be like, I'm just going to hide and use the internet as a cloak of invisibility to cover myself so you'll never know who I am. And I'm just going to snipe at you. I mean, that's being juvenile. Be mature enough and send an email from, like, your real email address and be like, hi, I think you're an idiot and I don't like anything you have to say. Sincerely, blah, blah, blah. And send it from, you know, email addresses like iamcoolguy242@yahoo.com. I mean, like, whatever, you know? Don't just be like, hi, I am no name and I'm posting on your Facebook page. Like, that's not cool.
Yeah, I mean, at least have the conviction to stand behind what you're saying. That's all I care about. Instead of being just some random drive-by commenter.
I like that drive-by commenter. I'm going to have to use that. Is it okay if I steal it?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, it's an apt description. People who just see things, comment on them, not actually in any meaningful or productive way. But they don't want to actually be responsible for their actions either. So that really is drive-by commenting.
So this is one of the things you want to talk about. Do you have any questions for me or any other things you want to talk about? I think to cover all the bases.
I think we've really talked about everything for now.
Okay, well.
But I'd love to come back at some point later on once we're a little more established and have some more to talk about.
I would love to have you back. I'd love to have you back with Tom. I think Tom would have a lot of fun chatting with you. Tom has a lot of fun talking with a lot of people, actually. He's just a likable guy. But I want to thank you, Drew, for being on the show. This was a blast. Like I said, this is something I've been wanting to do for a while, and you had mentioned that we had a little difficulty kind of arranging this, so I'm glad we were able to get it done. I've been really looking forward to it for a while. Before we close up, though, I would love if you could just tell people how to get in contact with you, how to find your blog, how to find your podcast, how to send you feedback, and all that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, right now, the website is thegatestormers.com. Again, you want to add the in there, because otherwise you will find yourself at a ministry site that stopped updating in 2007. And being a metalhead, I do feel a need to clarify. I'm talking a religious ministry, not a ministry, the band website.
Okay.
I mean, these are important distinctions to be made. If it was just a regular ministry website, I'd let you know to check out the, to make sure you're including the, but otherwise I'd tell you go check it out, because ministry is a good band. But, I mean, as for contacting me directly, you can send me an email at drew@thegatestormers.com. We also have contact@thegatestormers.com. We'll do our best to respond to everything we get. As for our podcasts, initially they'll be updated solely on our site. I'd like to get an iTunes account set up to update there as well. Hopefully I'll get that established. As soon as I do, I'll be glad to send a link your way. And I think that's everything.
So listeners could, you'll have an RSS feed so they can just subscribe to it and they'll get new episodes automatically and new blog content, new blog articles automatically right in like in an RSS feed. They can sign up for that?
Yep. As soon as we get that set up, I'll let you know and you can post it if you'd like.
Very cool. So we will have a link to the Gatestormers in our show notes and we'll have a link to the Gatestormers podcast in the show notes as well. Along with whatever else we have talked about in here that I feel like I can put a link to. So we'll have that in there so you can find out about it by visiting our blog, CWF Gamecast, over at wargamingforums.com. And everything will be in the show notes, so then you can go on over to thegatestormers.com and see what Drew's doing over there. Thank you again, Drew. This was fantastic.
All right. Thanks for having me. You have a great night.
You too.
Warning. Warning. Coming up next is the Music to Game By segment in the CWF. CWF Gamecast. Please stay tuned. We'll be back after this song.
This should be played at high volume, preferably in a residential area.
CWF Gamecast is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 12-7-games.com. And contest sponsor, Battle Games Magazine, the spirit of wargaming, available at fine hobby shops throughout the United Kingdom and beyond. Subscribe online at www.battlegames.co.uk. This recording is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for the CWF Gamecast online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.